Good morning from the beautiful city of Portland, Oregon.
These are images and video from an army of citizen journalists in Portland who have been documenting a city in decline. Public drug abuse, addicts sprawled on the sidewalks or wandering the streets, tent encampments on many street corners, and fires seen burning along the roadways. What used to be one of America's most beautiful and livable cities is being slowly destroyed by epidemic levels of crime, drug abuse, homelessness, and mental illness. One local has called Portland an open-air insane asylum. We went to one of Portland's many tent encampments with drug and alcohol counselor Kevin Dahlgren, who's trying to help the city's addicts. Many of the tents you see here are supplied by Multnomah County. Dahlgren believes at least some officials are okay with what's happened to the city.
How could they not be okay with it for as long as this has gone on, right? Every day we walk past these camps, we see people languishing and dying on the streets. That is not okay. Every year we say this is a state of emergency, right? But who here is treating it like in a true state of emergency?
Dahlgren says activists actually put up empty tents to attract more tents.
That is a common practice, to erect tents to invite homeless in, to be homeless, right? And that makes our job now 10 times harder. They will just erect the tents in hopes that a person will find the tent and move inside.
During our time with Dahlgren, he met one homeless man who said he was given a bus ticket to Portland by the city of Billings, Montana. Portland has become a mecca for addicts and drug dealers who have migrated here from across the country to take advantage of weak drug laws. It's also attracted drug cartels. There were 11 drug overdoses on March 31st alone, and one pill of fentanyl can cost as little as $1.
I feel like we've invited people to come to our city to kill themselves.
A Portland photographer who goes by the street name of Michelle Ghost has been capturing the decline of the city through her lens.
We're giving them the tools that they need to stay alive just long enough to end up dying on our streets.
After rioting over George Floyd's death resulted in the destruction of large parts of Portland in 2020, Mayor Ted Wheeler thanked the rioters before he was hit with tear gas. Things got worse for the city when Oregon voters approved Measure 110. It decriminalized possession of small amounts of drugs, making it a health care issue and not a crime. Police officials say it's led to a huge increase in the amount of drugs on the streets, which has led to a surge in crime. It wasn't always like this.
Portland, Oregon. One of the nation's most beautiful cities. The citizens of Portland attend many fine churches. It is a family town. A good place to bring up children.
In Portland today, a viral video shows a man using drugs in front of a child. Just last week, a man beat someone with a golf club in front of this Portland restaurant. The nervous owners then offered the attacker hot coffee, which he dumped on the victim. 79% of businesses surveyed in Portland have been victims of vandalism or break-ins. 19% have been vandalized at least 5 times.
Our business has been vandalized over 6 times. We've had 5 burglaries in our business. We've had over $100,000 worth of impact.
Walmart and Cracker Barrel are part of a wave of businesses that have fled the city. More than 2,600 downtown businesses have left.
I'm very frustrated with what's going on.
Tech company owner Gabe Johnson is also looking to relocate.
By us continuing to keep our business in Multnomah County, in the Portland city limits, we are giving money to the problem. And so we're gonna move.
Portland's social experiment, this progressive experiment, has gone colossally bad.
Jeff and Angela are Portland business owners and community reporters with PDX Real.
I can't stress it enough. It has impacted everything from our banks are being broken into, ATMs are being stolen. We have people that are just going to work, walking in their neighborhood, being assaulted.
It's like it's in some sort of like controlled demolition, really. And when I say that, it's because a lot of this stuff comes from policy.
Lax laws against car theft have made stealing cars a growth industry in Portland. 1 out of every 2 police stops in the city involves a stolen car. We went to one of Portland's former CHOP sites with Nick Haas, the founder of Guardians Theft Recovery, a community-based group that has helped recover more than 700 stolen vehicles.
This is the site of the Midway CHOP operation. The Midway CHOP operated for about 6 to 9 months, and our crew estimates about 250 to 300 stolen vehicles were illegally processed and cut up into pieces at this site. And they knew that there was basically catch and release. If you got caught with a stolen vehicle, you're gonna get booked, you're gonna get held for about 48 hours, you're gonna get put back out on the street. So it kind of became like a candy land for them.
Critics call Portland the poster child for what happens when progressive policy goes too far. Portland officials are now conducting tent sweeps to clean up the city. And some believe Portland may be turning the corner. But drug abuse, homelessness, and crime remain high.
Imagine, absent some of the decay we've seen, what a great place it could be to live.
MC Street Truth is the alias of a Portland businessman who co-founded the Coalition to Save Portland with Gabe Johnson.
I remember when we used to celebrate the idea that Portland's weird. This is kind of how it is. It's weird, it's quirky. It's not funny anymore. We'd like to go back to where Portland was just weird. Now it's scary.
One writer asked, how long does it take for a city to die? Dale Hurd, CBN News, Portland.